Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, let your words today just fall and settle into us. Let it inspire us. Let it show us, teach us, and grow us for you and your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our bulletin today is, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and unto my path." When Pastor told me that he wasn't going to be here, and he said, that's what I told to my bulletin, and I said, well, I think I can come up with a message around that. So I prayed about it and thought about it and prayed some more about it, and God gave me the other verses. Last month when I preached, we talked about the fact that hell is real. It's not a make-believe place. God created a hell, not for us, but for Satan and the demons, but those of us that don't know Jesus are going to go there. I preached a couple weeks ago, I preached about what Jesus told his disciples, go out and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, just know me and that's enough. He said, no, know me and go out and tell others about me. Bring others to know me and accept me as their Lord and Savior. So today we're going to talk about the lamp. He is our lamp, but he's also a light inside of us. And about a week ago, I spoke to the young people over at Grace Baptist Church here in town. And as I prepared for that message, I thought, boy, what a responsibility. It's a responsibility to preach here on a Sunday. And it's stressful, and I get nervous, and I really want to make sure I'm hearing what God is telling me. I don't ever want to take a congregation down any type of rabbit hole. I don't want to preach what I want you to hear. I want to preach what he wants you to hear. So a lot of responsibility. But as I got ready for the message over at Grace on that Wednesday night, I felt more pressure than ever because I realized suddenly I'm preaching to young people. It was sixth grade through high school. And I thought, wow, they've got their whole life ahead of them. Not that any of us are leaving soon, hopefully, but they got their whole life. And they're stepping out into a world, and are they really prepared for that world? And I look at the world, and I think, wow, those kids, those young people, those young adults really need to have God in their life, to really have the strength, to really have the belief that it's real, that heaven's real, that hell is real, to believe that they need to go out and proclaim the gospel, and they need God's light around them and in them. And so I thought, that's one of the most important messages I could give as a pastor is to young people. Well, I feel the same today because we're talking to our graduates, high school graduates, who I said are on the doorstep of life. They're going to walk out into that world, and that world has all kinds of crazy ideas, all kinds of crazy ways of doing things. And unfortunately, a lot of them aren't matching up with this, God's word. There's no doubt that as you go into the world, you're going to encounter darkness. The world is full of darkness. There's no way you're going to go out into the world and make your way and not encounter sin, temptation. Other people tell you it's okay to do things, and that's darkness. So you need to be strong. You need to be in your Bible, in the Word. Let's go to the reading in Psalm 119. I love the way it starts out in verse 105. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I like honey. I really like honey. I used to love at KFC to get their biscuits and put butter on and then get the honey on there. That's about as good as it gets for me and honey is the KFC biscuits. So it's pretty sweet. It could say honey or it could say dark chocolate to some of you. It could say ice cream. It doesn't really matter. The idea is here, something that really tastes good to you, whatever your thing is, just put it in that verse. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than whatever you love to my mouth. Well, that's what God's word is supposed to be like. When I accepted Jesus Christ and I was reading his word, I couldn't get enough. I could not get enough. The Bible I read a shirt about in today is tattered. It's got these tabs almost every page. It's all, you know, highlighted. It's almost, can't even read it anymore. It's so scribbled on because it was sweet. I was hungry for it. I had a hunger for God's word. I wanted to ingest his word get it inside of me, make it part of me, so I could understand it, so I could just be in it. It could be in me. There were verses I would read that I would read again and again and again. It's like eating honey on a, you know, I just wanted to read it again and again because it was so sweet. It tasted so good. And that's what David, who they think is the author of this psalm, is saying. He finds God's word sweet, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Then he goes on and says in 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Through this, not from the world, not from what the world tells me is right and wrong. I get it right here. This is my understanding right here. If I don't understand something, if I have a question, I go here, or I go to a pastor, or I go to my, you know, Christian friends and ask them. It's right here, my understanding. Then this is a verse the world will probably say is terrible. Therefore, I hate every false way. It doesn't mean we hate sinners. It means we hate sin. We hate the darkness. We don't hate people. This is not telling us to hate someone who doesn't know the word or is saying the word isn't true, whatever they're saying. It says hate every false way. It means if you go out in the world and someone says to you, hey, drugs are legal, let's go smoke some drugs. As a Christian, you know it's a false way. So you say, no, I don't like that. I hate that idea of smoking drugs. Whatever it is, it's a false way. You don't do it. Then it finishes, your word, right here again, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, if you don't know what to do, if you're uncertain, confused, right here, let this guide you. Why do we need this? Well, let's go to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4. I preached on the first couple verses last time I preached about how we need to preach the word. We need to be bold. But why? Why do we need God's word to be a lamp? Why do we need to love his word and read it every day and treat it like a food into our body? Because it tells us in 2 Timothy, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, so it's happening back then too. Paul saw it happening, so he's warning Timothy, who was a preacher, who was a disciple for Jesus and the word. He says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Well, do we see that? If I want to do something, and I come here and I hear Emery tell me it's wrong, I'm like, no, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that it's okay for me to go do whatever I feel like doing. So I could shop around. I could go to different churches. I could find one that isn't Bible-based and hear what I want to hear. Or if as a congregation, we decided we didn't want to hear the truth, we could say, Emery and Kobe, there's the door, and hire somebody who preaches what we want to hear. Many of us came from a church, from a denomination, that did just that. They said, we don't like these pages here in the Bible. We'll just color them out, big X. We don't like this. Now we're going to tell our pastors what they're going to preach and how they're going to preach it. And they're going to get on board, or there's the door. I heard someone running for, I think, Congress out in Utah this last week. He attacked a Christian pastor who had said that Jesus is the only way. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and we know that's true. He said Christians are religious bigots. I mean, he called that pastor a bigot, but he's calling us all bigots who believe that. He said bigots because they preach Jesus is the only way, therefore saying that other faiths aren't going to go to heaven because they don't believe in Jesus. He didn't say that's your belief, you can have it. He said, no, you're a bunch of bigots because you believe Jesus is the only way, and by saying that, you're saying we're not going to go because we don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God and Lord and Savior. I just saw an article that the Episcopal Church is going to change their standard wedding vows from husband and wife to these two people as they endorse same-sex marriage, which we know is a falsehood. And we have to hate every false way. Not the people, but it goes against God's word. So time is coming, people are going to want their own teachers to teach what they want to hear. We know that's happening. They'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off in the mist. We know that's happening. Same-sex marriage, no-fault divorce, abortion, legalizing drugs, and it goes on and on. It's okay to cheat or lie to get ahead. I mean, all the things the world tells you is okay, and there's many, many more. Then again, it tells us, as for you, always be sober-minded. That means us Christians. Endure suffering. Because there's going to be times, young people, when you are going to feel like, I really can't speak up because, you know, maybe it's your workplace. Everybody there is talking in a bad way, bad language, saying bad things about other people, maybe just talking in a very, very terrible way. And you're new there, and you want to get promoted. And if you speak up, you might not get promoted. You might even get fired. So you're going to have to endure suffering and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry that Jesus gave every one of us that know him to proclaim the word. I heard a pastor give a sermon one time, and he's been a pastor quite a while. He said he's never been to someone's deathbed and heard them say, I wish I would have got higher in my company. I wish I would have made more money. I wish I had more gold in my pocket. I wish I had a better car. What they say is things like, to the pastor, was I a good person? Am I a good person? Could I see my family one more time? Could you get my kids to come see me one more time? Will you pray over me? Am I going to go to heaven? Those are the things people care about. Not about how much money you make. Not about whether you're the president of the company or the vice president. It's good to want to get ahead. There's nothing wrong with that. Be successful in life. But don't compromise your Christianity to get ahead. And then Paul knows he's coming to the end of his life here. So Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. So he's tried. We're not perfect. I sin. I mean, we all sin. We all get tempted sometimes and make a bad decision. Paul did too. I fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. He didn't let his faith be compromised or taken away from him. Henceforth, there is laid up for me, for all of us who are Christians, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and all of us that stay in faith with Jesus on that day. And then he says, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So that's why we need the word to be sweeter than honey. That's why we need to stay strong in our faith. Let's go to our gospel reading now. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So he's talking to those people there. He's talking to all of us right here today. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Don't hide it. Don't hide it at work. Don't hide it at school. Don't hide it with your family, with your friends. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and you make them a disciple. You get them to buy into Jesus Christ and get to know him. And they then give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We're making disciples so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And see, there's no compromising. It's clear from these readings there's no compromising. I can't say, well, I know something is a sin, but you know, it's the, you know, that person's important to me, or it's going to help my career, or I just don't want to make any waves, so I'm just going to go along with it this one time. I'm going to support the sin over here in the darkness, not say anything, actually give it a stamp of approval by being quiet about it, saying, well, I'm not saying it's good, but I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just going to sit here, but I'm here supporting whatever's happening. You can't do that. Sin is sin. We must, as I said in the psalm, hate false ways, all of them, not 99% of them, all of them. And don't hide your light. Can I get the lights turned off in here, please? Because hidden light is wasted light. What is it? It does no good to hide your light. It's, you know, now it's dark in here. This is what the world likes, darkness. Because in darkness they can do things and they think they're not being seen. And maybe not by the rest of the world, but God sees everything we do in the light and in the dark, with people and by ourselves. Hidden light is wasted light. The light in you is your faith in Jesus Christ. Hidden faith is wasted faith. Coming to church isn't what God wants as the final step in our faith. He wants us to know Him and know His Son, and yes, come to church, but He wants so much more from our faith, from the light that He gives us through the Holy Spirit. So if you hide your faith, as James says, is dead faith. Faith without works is dead. This whole service, there's been a light shining in this church that no one has seen because it's wasted light. It's dead faith. What good did this do, the whole service under this basket? Nothing. No one knew it was here. If someone here doesn't know Jesus Christ, and this is where I put my faith and my light, what am I doing for God's kingdom? Nothing. Here's the light, the way, a lamp unto my feet, my path. Not only is it light my way, but it's a light inside of me that I can shine out to others. So I would say to you graduates, the world is a big place. It's got all kinds of ideas. Some good, a lot not. What you need to follow is right in that book there called the Holy Bible, in the Bibles we gave you today. And let your light shine. God will bless you for it. You'll never be let down by God, ever. Let Him be a guide to your path, the light to your path. Let Him be the light shining out of you. Amen. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. You can turn the lights back on. Father, we love You so much. You are so wonderful to us. You gave each one of us life. You've given us so many blessings. And You've given us Your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the debt for our sins. That through Him, knowing Him, we have defeated the grave because He defeated the grave. We have eternal life. This is temporary, Father, and we want to serve You here on earth. But we have eternal life through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we ask You to use us to shine Your light. In Jesus' name, amen.